For he is Lord, he is Lord, he is Lord. He has risen, he has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. God bless you. Genesis 35, verse 9. God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Amen. Don't you love that? Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. Amen. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died, and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set up a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. You may be seated. God bless you. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Oh, there's such nuggets in the Bible. There's such wonderful, wonderful nuggets in the Bible. And I was thinking about Israel, and how the history of Israel and how God dealt with them. And, you know, the Bible says that when we look back at Israel, that's an example for us. We can learn things to help us in our life by looking back at God's dealings with Israel and how Israel responded. You know, God blessed Israel. He blessed them. And they had many blessings. But when they forsook God, the blessing turned to a curse. And the same thing's true for us today. If we serve God and we yield to God, we're going to be blessed by God. But if we forsake the Lord and we go our own way, we're in trouble. Amen. We're in big trouble. So, you know, I was talking to somebody this week and I realized, you know, people don't want to be under a yoke. They really don't. People don't want to be under bondage. And sometimes people can get wore out in this battle that we're in, contending for the faith. You know, we're in a battle. Look at Israel. They were fighting all the time. You know, the Christian walk is not an easy walk. Amen. It's a battle every day. And so when I think about how you can get weary, sometimes people get tired of fighting this good fight and they retreat. Pull back. They say, well, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to do what they want me to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. I want you to know you're in trouble right there. Because what you're doing is saying, I don't want to be yoked by God. I want to be a free man. But what happens really in reality is you're either yoked by God or you're yoked by the enemy. Just look at Israel. When they didn't want to serve God, they came under another yoke. They were overcome by their enemies. Same thing's true for you and I. So don't ever think that, well, I'm tired of all, you know, I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to submit to God. Listen, when you're doing that, there's a devil in your ear. He's trying to get you under his yoke. It's an evil spirit. And I see people, the devil just draws them away from churches, from Christian fellowship, and it says, I don't want that, you know. Those people, they're not perfect. Who is perfect, by the way? And I see all their faults. The devil always points the backside of Israel. Mm-hmm. The devil's always going to point to you all the troubles with people. That's true. What, when you have your own too, but somehow we forget that. And then we pull away to ourselves because we don't want to deal with it no more. And then the devil just has a field day. And people say, I don't know why I have all these problems. I can't believe it. I got so many problems. Well, you turned away from God. You went your own way. You know, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, right? And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Right? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Amen. See, if you have to have a yoke on you, take his yoke.
Amen.
Any other yoke is not going to be like that. Any other yoke doesn't have the promises of God. It doesn't have the blessings of God. It has the curses.
Amen.
See, what we need to do is find God's provided way of escape.
Amen.
And that is Jesus Christ.
Amen. Wow.
And that is to let be yoked with him. And see, when you're, it's like two oxen under the same yoke. When you put the yoke of Jesus on, he's right next to you. He's bearing the load. But you need to be with him. Amen.
Amen.
So this year, I'm going to be yoked with Jesus.
Amen.
I choose Jesus.
Amen.
I don't choose my own way. I don't choose, you know, I'm not going to look at the faults of others. I'm going to yoke with Jesus. I'm going to look to the cross.
Amen.
I'm going to have mercy on people because I want God's mercy.
Amen.
See, there's a right way to live. There's a right way to see. And if you're not careful, the devil will pull you out and get you isolated. And all of a sudden, you're all by yourself, and you've left Jesus, and you're wondering why you got so many problems. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
When I look at Israel, they were not perfect. They were far from perfect. Look at the Bible. That's one of the reasons, intellectually, that we can say, now I have faith the Bible's right without proving everything. You know, you can find proofs that the Bible's the Word of God. There's historical proofs. There's the records of things people found in history and everything. But to me, I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and I can't really explain it because I have faith in me that the Bible is the Word of God. But one of the proofs intellectually that the Bible is the Word of God is this proud nation of Israel is completely exposed. Why would they write down these stories about all their failings if it was just a man-made thing? See, it shows all of their failings and all their successes. And they had success when they served God. And when they left God, they really failed. They served idols. They would be blessed. I mean, I'm looking at the history. Maybe we'll spend some more time later with the history in Israel because it's interesting to me. But you look at the Old Testament. You look at Abraham. Why did God choose Abraham? Because he was better than everybody else. No. God chose Abraham by election. What's that mean? Grace.
Amen.
He was just serving pagan idols like everybody else. And God came to him and spoke to him and chose him and put a covenant on him that was unconditional.
Amen.
What did Abraham do to deserve that? Nothing.
Nothing.
And after God did that, he's telling his wife, well, don't tell him you're my wife. Tell him you're my sister, because you know you kind of are my sister.
Amen.
But I'm a little afraid they're going to hurt me. So let's just say, what is that?
Amen.
That's the human part. And that's in all of us. Abraham wasn't chosen because he's perfect.
Amen.
He's supposed to stay in this promised land that God gave him, and it gets a little hard with a famine. He runs down to Egypt, runs down somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have done the same things. We're all
Amen.
Guilty.
Amen.
But God confirmed his covenant with Abraham and then with Isaac. And today we see he confirmed it with Jacob.
Amen.
Now, Jacob, was he worthy?
No.
He was kind of a shyster. His name meant shyster, right? He was, look at Laban. You know, Laban was no match for Jacob. That's how the flocks grew. If you see a healthy flock there, he'd put this one thing, and then he got the spotted cat on. Just be careful. You know, Jacob, he's a wily guy, right? So God didn't confirm the covenant with Jacob because of his actions, but because of the covenant he made with Abraham was unconditional, and to his seed, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and then Jacob's 12 sons. You know, really, Brother Branham taught that those 12 sons and the 12 apostles would be like the 24 elders, you know, around the throne of God.
Amen.
Well, they didn't deserve that. Look what they did. You know, they went down there, and one of these guys, Hamar, what is his name? He took their sister, and then the guy wanted to marry her, and the sons of Jacob, they're like, oh, okay, you want to marry her, all right. Well, look how they dealt with this.
Amen.
They said, all right, well, you know, we would like to do that with you, but, you know, you're not circumcised. So if you and all the men in your village get circumcised, you know, then we'll be like brothers, and you can have our sister. And they're going, okay, we'll do that. And they all get circumcised, which just talking about it makes you know, cringe a little bit. You know, an adult being circumcised, because after that it's healing and you're in pain. And all these guys, when they're in that pain of healing from the circumcision, Jacob's sons went out and just killed them. Just slew them all with the sword. How many knows that's in the Bible?
Amen.
So, anyway, these guys were tough, and Jacob's going, oh, I can't believe you guys. I mean, everybody around's going to hate us because of you. But this is who is chosen by God.
Amen.
Listen, it's grace.
Amen.
It's election.
Amen.
It's not based on our worthiness. So when we look at the nation of Israel, we do not see a perfect people. Is that true? Can everybody
Amen.
See that?
Amen.
They are not perfect. Even today, they're not perfect,
Amen.
All right? But we see a perfect God that chose this people. That's the difference.
Amen.
God's choice, God choosing. Having mercy, God, the perfect God, choosing to have mercy on an imperfect people.
Amen.
That's the story of the Old Testament.
Amen.
A perfect God having mercy on someone who's not perfect.
Amen.
Tell you what, I want that.
Amen.
Because I know, and you should know, we're not perfect people.
Amen.
We fail.
Amen.
Same is true today. God does not choose to deal with perfect people.
Amen.
Now, I want you to see the pattern, and we'll get to building a background here. But rather, he chooses those that are far from perfect.
Amen.
And then he gets glory out of saving and delivering them.
Amen.
That's what God loves.
Amen.
I'm going to read a few scriptures to you. You don't have to turn, but in Mark 2 it says, and when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and sinners, Jesus, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners?
Amen.
Who is the he? Jesus. God. Manifest in flesh.
Amen.
And the religious people are like, got their nose all bent out of shape. He's eating with sinners and publicans. And when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician,
yes.
But they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Amen.
You see, when someone gets that evil religious spirit on them, and they get lifted up and they think they're righteous in themselves, God can't deal with them. He doesn't want to deal with them. God deals with people that recognize they need God. Sinners saved by grace. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." That was Paul's letter to Timothy. He came into the world to save sinners. You see the pattern? In the Old Testament, he chose a nation of imperfect people, and he had mercy on them. And then in the New Testament covenant, when he transferred, and he's the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, with his continual eternal ministry, Jesus now comes into the world to save sinners. Paul said, "Of whom I am chief." See, Paul had an abundance of revelations, didn't he? Well, to me, one of the great revelations Paul had was he was nothing.
Amen.
He was nothing. Amen. He was worthy of death. He persecuted Christians. But God gave Paul an abundance of revelations, and one of his revelations was, "I'm chiefest of sinners."
Amen. Hallelujah.
And if you get real revelation from God, you also realize that you're nothing.
Amen. Amen.
And you'll never be anything. It's all just the grace of God.
Amen.
And what he's done for us.
Amen.
Whenever you see somebody that's got an abundance of revelation and they've got a stuffed shirt, they're walking around like they know everything and they're know-it-all, they don't know anything.
Amen.
I wouldn't take anything they said as a revelation from God. Because they haven't got the simplest revelation that we're sinners saved by grace.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, Paul understood the grace of God in his life. God did not choose him because he was doing real well. God chose Paul because he was one of the worst ones.
Amen.
Look at this guy. I'll take care of him. You see? He didn't choose Israel because they were better than the other nations, stronger than the other nations. No. That's not how he does it. But so it would be very clear that through weakness, God was strong.
Amen.
God received glory because Paul knew it wasn't him.
Amen.
It was God doing the work.
Amen.
Remember how Paul said, you know, "This grace that was upon me was not in vain, but God worked mightily through me."
Amen.
Paul never said, "I worked mightily for God." There's a big difference. Paul said, "God worked mightily through me." That's a revelation that we need to have. 2 Corinthians 12:7, and lest, Paul says this, he had an abundance of revelations, "and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Now, people had debated what this thorn was. Some people say it was his eyes, because we know he had bad eyes. We know that Paul wasn't strong physically. He didn't have a commanding presence physically, but he appeared as small and weakly in his physical presence. But his letters are weighty. The pen is mighty.
Amen.
See, so Paul did not have a commanding physical presence. His speech was not with excellency. Look at Moses. He could hardly talk. He was a stutterer, right? So, "lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Now, I don't know that the thorn was his eyes. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was a weakness in something as a man. I don't know what it was. But there was a thorn in the flesh. The Bible says, "the messenger of Satan to buffet me." So something that Satan could say, "Look at this in your life." If it was his eyes, just say, "If you believe God's a healer, how come you ain't healed?" That's the devil. "Messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," three times, "that it might depart from me." So whatever it was, he sought God earnestly not just like 3 times in 5 minutes, 3 different times he really sought the Lord earnestly, saying, God, take this from me, right? For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, who's he? Jesus.
Amen.
My grace is sufficient for thee.
Hallelujah.
For my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Amen.
Now watch what Paul says. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Amen.
See, nobody likes to feel helpless. Nobody likes to feel that I can't overcome, I can't do the job, I'm no good. And nobody likes that feeling. I don't like that feeling.
Amen.
But here, what I realize in looking at the Gospels and the message, and Brother Branham preached a wonderful message, perfect strength through perfect weakness, and we'll get to something he said in there, but what I realize is that God does not choose you because of your ability.
Amen.
But the truth is, he wants us to see how weak we are, so that when we turn to him for help, then we realize God did it. See, that's why through weakness we become strong, because when we realize I can't do it, but I'm going to depend on God to do it, and then we watch him do it, we watch him overcome in our life,
amen.
That's victory.
Amen.
And then who gets the glory? Us? No. God.
Amen.
And we really know, because we were in that place, in that mysterious, wonderful, strange place of helplessness.
Amen.
Of realizing you're a sinner, of realizing you're headed to hell, and then all of a sudden one day you realize, but there is a Savior.
Amen.
There's the cross. He took my place on the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And then we're down in that pit and we rise up again with confidence, but not confidence in ourselves, but confidence in him.
Amen.
Praise. Now, if God would choose somebody who has all this ability, they walk around saying, of course God chose me. Just look at me.
Amen.
I'm perfect. I know everything. I'm smart. I'm beautiful. I got it all figured out. God's like, oh, please. Go away. Let me find somebody that feels like they're nothing.
Amen.
You can be sitting here today and think, well, I'm just nothing. You are a candidate for God.
Yes.
I can't do anything. God's coming after you.
Amen.
But I can't do anything. That's why he's coming after you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God does not choose people who have ability to accomplish what needs to be done. God does not choose people that have the ability and the confidence in themselves to do what needs to be done. God does not choose what the world calls strong. God does not choose the things the world loves. The things that which is esteemed by men,
amen,
is abomination to God.
Amen.
That which is highly esteemed. What does the world esteem today? Mm-hmm. They esteem some strange things.
Mm-hmm.
You could have any kind of weird spirit on you, but if you got money and fame, the world esteems that.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, one of the things that really bothers me, I'm going to be honest with you now, it's Christian people that get all happy because they saw some star. Oh, I saw. I thought you were Christian.
Amen.
What do you care about that nonsense?
Amen.
That's how I feel.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but.
Oh, brother, yeah.
Oh man, I want to get an autograph from. Are you a Christian? I want the approval of Jesus.
Amen.
These people are against what,
amen,
Jesus said and what he believes. They spit on the Bible. Why do I care about that? Why would I love or care about what the world loves?
Amen.
Unless the world is in me.
Amen.
If you love the world, the things of the world, the love of God's not in you.
Amen.
I've been with people, Christian people, people in my own family, and they'll get all excited about something. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm going to stand over here while the lightning strikes. Whatever, what is that? We need to examine ourselves. What do you care about?
Amen.
If you care about what the world loves, there's something wrong.
Amen.
God chooses things that the world despises. Despises. Praise God.
Amen.
He chooses those that cannot rely on their own ability. He chooses things that are despised and look foolish. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish.
Amen.
But to us that are saved is the power of God.
Amen.
Preaching looks foolish. Listen, I was talking to someone I love, and they've gotten out of fellowship, and they're sincere because they've just been through a lot of hard times, the devil beating them up. But they had to acknowledge, well, it's hard to get preaching somewhere else besides church. But I hate going to church because they're all hypocrites. But I guess if I'm going to hear from God in that way, then I got to go to church somewhere. Yes, it's foolishness to the world preaching, but actually God, like Brother Brandon, he could have used the trees to speak to man. He could have spoke from the clouds. He could have spoken through the birds or whatever he wanted. But God chose imperfect man. Once again, he seems to love to hide behind something that looks a little wrong.
Amen.
Remember those five women in Matthew 1? We can never forget that now.
Amen.
Why did God highlight the women of ill fame?
Amen.
He didn't highlight Sarah and Rebecca and all the good women. He highlighted the women that had to bear shame.
Amen.
Tamar. Played the prostitute.
Amen.
Why would God highlight that? Rahab was a prostitute.
Amen.
Why would God highlight that?
That's right.
Bathsheba, who was bathing where she shouldn't have been bathing.
Amen.
The king's up there. Why don't I just bathe? You know, I'm not saying that's how it happened. But listen, she got pregnant before she married.
Amen.
And God highlights that. And then the child dies. Why would God highlight that?
Amen.
Ruth, the Moabitess. The one that, well, she was a Gentile. The nearest kinsman didn't want her. He wanted that land, but she goes with the land. He goes, I didn't want her. You can have her, Boaz. And Boaz says, I'll take her. Boaz was like Christ. The kinsman redeemer.
Amen.
He redeemed a Gentile bride.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And you know, there was a little bit of reproach for her to accept him. I believe that, this is just me now, you don't have to accept it, but I believe Boaz was an older man.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said to her, you're blessed because you didn't like chase the younger men.
Because
I'm an older dude, right?
Yes.
Mary and Joseph, I believe... Joseph, you don't have to believe it, but I believe Joseph was married and his wife died before he took young Mary. See? Because Brother Green went through letters that were done way back. And so Joseph was an older man, I believe. Jesus had brothers where Joseph was the father and they were older than Jesus, right? James could have very well been the older brother of Jesus by another woman that actually died. I don't know if you realize that. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Anyway, those five women had to bear shame. Those five women in their life, they weren't the most popular and the most praised. They had to bear the shame of things, but God somehow chose to use them.
Amen.
For his manifestation.
Amen.
For his... Oh, praise God. I love that. Say, Brother John, you're just selfish like that because you and Maureen had a baby before you're married. That's true. I was the shame of my family. My mom and dad were embarrassed by me and Maureen because we were sinners and we had a child and then we got married. The shame of the family. The runt of the litter. But the grace of God.
Amen.
Oh, I love it. I'll take the way with the Lord's despised few.
Amen.
Praise God. Forgive me for that. Forgive me for that. But see, I know what it's like for to be the shame.
Amen.
To be the disgrace. And then when Jesus got a hold of me, I was more of a shame. My Catholic family didn't want to talk about it. They're off in that weird thing. They don't watch TV, and they're like, you know, into some kind of cult thing, following some kind of prophet. Praise God.
Amen.
I'll bear that reproach. I'll bear that reproach. God sent a prophet to this generation. I am a witness. Malachi 4 has been fulfilled. Elijah has come.
Amen.
And we got his tapes, and you can hear them.
Amen.
Because I like them. I feed on them.
Amen.
Other people look and say, these weird people. Look at them. It's strange. Following some man. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ.
Amen.
You look in this generation, who lived more like Jesus Christ than Brother Branham? Brother Branham lived so close to Jesus Christ, people thought he was Jesus Christ. Now, I don't think he was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said he wasn't.
That's right.
But I tell you what, I'm not ashamed of the fact that he lived so much like Christ that people thought he was. May it be so for all of you.
Amen.
May you live so close to Jesus Christ that people think, I can't tell the difference. How many founders of religions have that testimony? Think about it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So we can see, let's go to 1 Corinthians 1. If you want to turn your Bible, verse 21. I'm taking way too long. I'm sorry.
Keep going, brother.
So, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. For after that, and I love this scripture. This is just, I've meditated on this for so long. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Look at that now. For after that, in the wisdom of God, which is the higher wisdom, the world, by their wisdom, by wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Amen.
That's our God. In the wisdom of this great eternal being, the world could not find God by their worldly wisdom. See, the scientists, there are some scientists that believe that there's a God. It's mostly the scientists that look out at the stars that believe there's a God. Because they prove things out there and they realize there has to be a God. The scientists that look at biology and they look down instead of looking up, they're the ones that are like atheists and things like that. If you look at the numbers, not all, I'm sure there's some Christians among biologists, but it's the ones that look out at the stars, they're the ones that vast majority are Christian people. Praise the Lord. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. So the gospel of Christ dying for our sins is foolishness to many people, but to us that are saved, it's the power of God.
Amen.
But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise.
Amen.
God chose that. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty.
Amen.
And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence.
Amen.
But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. See, he is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. He is our redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Whenever you see someone glorying in themselves, something's wrong. Whenever you see somebody lifting up in themselves, whenever you see that pride, God hates a proud look. What does he think about pride? Everyone that is proud shall be brought low.
Amen.
And realizing that when our flesh nature would tend that way, we need to humble ourselves. Amen. We should choose to humble ourselves to God. How do you do that? And you humble yourselves to one another, preferring one another. That man that's driving like a wild animal on 95, just let him go. No, I'm going to block him out. Wrong thing to do. Amen. Let them have the asphalt. We have streets of gold.
Amen.
All right? Amen. We don't need this world. We don't need to be first here.
Amen.
The last shall be first. The first shall be last.
Amen.
Up is down. Down is up. Don't try to win this worldly battle. Put your treasures in heaven.
Amen.
Where moth can't get to, dust doesn't corrupt. See? Nobody can take away the things with God. And he sees the secret things. He sees when someone wronged you and you didn't fight back. You chose to commit that to God. You chose to forgive them. You chose mercy. See, a lot of times in our natural man, that's hard to do because we're like, somebody got away with something. Nobody gets away with anything. Nobody gets away with anything. If somebody wrongs you, if somebody did something wrong, and you try to fight in the natural, you're just wasting your time. But if you can find forgiveness, that's a wonderful thing. If you want peace and you want rest when someone's offended you, forgive them, commit them to God, and God will give you rest. But as long as you hold a grudge, as long as you want them to, you're not going to have any peace. You're going to be troubled. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
When we look at the Bible, God's chosen vessels learned that they could do nothing without God.
Amen.
We can do nothing without God. Think about it. Let me just put that quote up, Ed, about human ability. And I've read this before, but again, some things are worth repeating.
Amen.
Because we need to be reminded. Perfect strength by perfect weakness. Now, if you really want to get the whole context, get the sermon. Check it out of the library, 1961, November 19th, Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness. It's a beautiful, beautiful sermon. And Brother Branham referred back to it later because he really thought this was a good thought. Now, I'll just read a little bit. Notice, it takes the weakest and the rejected, and practically every hero God ever had on the front line was that type of person. A person that was rejected, a person that thought he was insufficient, a person that had no ability at all, then that person's just in good shape so God can start using them. That's right. When they feel like they can't, they haven't got nothing, that's when God can take a hold of them and do something with them. See? But when we are thinking that we're able to do it, then God can't use us because we're wanting to do it ourselves. Amen. We following along?
Amen.
We in the right spot?
Amen.
As long as... Okay. Praise God. Then, the other side, we get these feelings and we think that we're insufficient and we don't want to do it.
Amen.
Now, that happens a lot. But then, if we just listen to the call of God, that's the very thing that God wants us to get into, that kind of shape, so he can. See, for me, let me just use myself as an example. I'm guilty many times. I don't want to preach no more. I'm tired. It's hard. Right? It's a yoke. God, I can't do it. See, I can't explain it. Amos might understand, but you feel helpless before God. Lord, I have nothing to say. I can't go up there. I've got nothing to say. Perfect. Then I can talk.
Amen.
That's an uncomfortable feeling, though. Do you just understand?
That's true.
Do you understand how that feels? Peter was in the pit and he had denied Jesus Christ and he's just feeling so helpless and he was just at the place where he really needed a Savior.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
God's like, I'm going to use him.
Hallelujah.
Day of Pentecost, you're number one.
Hallelujah.
You feel like you're nothing. Praise God, I'm going to use you.
Amen.
That's our God.
Yes.
So you're sitting there thinking, God can't use me, I'm nothing. You may be the very one he wants to use.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
I believe it.
Hallelujah.
Then we are insufficient. When we are insufficient ourselves, then we are subjects to yield to God's Spirit. As long as we think that we can do it, then we can't do it. But when we get to the place where we know we can't do it, then we yield ourselves to God and he does it.
Amen.
He
amen,
does
amen.
It.
Hallelujah.
So then if it's us trying to do it, we'll fail. But if we'll just yield ourselves to God, then God can't fail.
Amen.
There's only one thing that God cannot do, that's fail. He can do anything but fail. He cannot fail. So as long as we're trying in ourselves and depending on our own abilities and so forth, why, we'll do nothing. But when we get to a place where we know we're nothing, then God can use us.
Amen.
The important thing, one of the most important things that we must master. Now, Brother Bram never said that any other time. Throughout all the messages. He never said, besides this, there's one important thing we must master. This is the one time. Look what he said. One important things that we must master. Remember this, especially you young preachers and lay members alike. There's one thing that we've got to master if we expect to fulfill God's desire in our life. Do you want to fulfill God's desire in your life?
Amen.
That is, we have to master the thought of human ability. If we ever get to a spot where we think we can do it with our own intelligence and our own abilities, we got to master that in such a way that we can get rid of the thing and lay it aside so that God can use us. That's right. Praise God.
Amen.
You see that? If we think we can do it, God's not going to use us.
Amen.
But when we realize we can't do it, Lord, I can't overcome this situation. I've tried this, I've tried this, I've tried that, I've manipulated here, I've manipulated here. He's like, I'm waiting for you to be done.
Amen.
So that I can do it.
Amen.
You mean you just want me to surrender to you and let you do it? Yes, that's what I want you to do. Be still and know that I'm God.
Amen.
By the way, I'm a warrior God.
Amen.
I never lost a battle that I went out to fight.
Amen.
Praise God. You mean you want to fight my battles? Yes, I've been waiting. You just don't listen to me. You keep trying to do it. You keep trying to figure it out. You keep trying to do this. Give it to me.
Amen.
And I'll show you what a warrior God does.
Amen.
I love having a warrior God.
Amen.
On my side. His yoke is easy.
Amen.
His burden is light.
Amen.
You know when it gets heavy? When we throw off his yoke and we try to do it ourselves. We put another yoke on us.
Amen.
Our own yoke. And then we're fighting and drudgery. You know, the sign of a mature Christian is rest.
Amen.
It doesn't mean you're not going to have all kinds of problems in your life, but it means that you're giving them to him.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. A severe problem in your life is an opportunity for the warrior God.
Amen.
See, when we stand there and we see the problem, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it. I can do it myself.
Amen.
He stands there going, oh. When will they learn? Finally, when we're tried, I can't do it. I can't overcome. I got this relationship that's in shatters. I got this situation that I just can't control. I got people lying about me. I got all kinds of problems. You know what? I need God.
Amen.
Bingo. That's what he wanted.
Amen.
And then we turn to God and we say, God, can you take care of this for me? I've been waiting to take care of it. Yes, I love you. You're my child. I want to take care of it. Thank you. Give it to me. And don't take it back again. Leave it to me. Because many people say, God, here, try it out. And then he doesn't do it like this. I'll take it back again. Praise the Lord. That's why God gives us children, see?
Amen.
So we can sympathize.
Amen.
What he goes through, right? Praise the Lord. Now, let's go back to Israel. Saying, Brother John, you went way off down the rabbit hole. Jacob was not perfect, but God chose him. We all agree to that. God changed his name to Israel, and through Jacob, God would continue his plan. Right?
Amen.
So Jacob married Rachel and Leah, and if you just look at history, he wanted to marry Rachel. I'm trying to get back to where we started. He wanted to marry Rachel. How many knows that's true? He saw Rachel, he loved her, right? And then Laban kind of tricked him, but Laban got his later, right? So Laban tricked Jacob, and somehow Jacob must have been drinking or something because he went in and he laid with Leah on his wedding night, and he wakes up in the morning. He's like, this is the wrong sister. How many knows that's true?
Amen. It's a word, brother.
And Laban says, all right, well, you served me 7 years for her. I can't give away the younger daughter before the older daughter, so you got to take her and give me another 7 years, and I'll give you Rachel. So he labors another 7 years, but clearly, clearly, Jacob loved Rachel.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Now, that had to be hard on Leah, right? Remember, she had to like trade Mandarin, whatever things to get with Jacob. She had to negotiate. Rachel never had to negotiate with Jacob because Jacob loved Rachel.
Amen.
All right? So we're just setting a scene here. Rachel finally gave birth to Joseph. She was barren for a long time, and she's pleading and pleading. And finally, you know how he had all these other kids, right? And Joseph, because Joseph was the firstborn son of the favored wife, is that all right?
Amen.
The favored wife, Joseph became what? Favorite.
Amen.
Favorite. Coat of many colors,
amen,
right?
Amen.
So his brothers, Joseph's brothers, he's just a little guy, but obviously Jacob is like way over the top with Joseph.
Yes.
Now imagine how that makes you feel. See, I got to watch that with Samantha's got 4 grandchildren, and Silas is just a cute little guy. He's like 3 years old, right? And I see it. Justice is a couple years older than him. How many? I don't know. Let's see. Probably like 4 years older than him. But I see it. We got to be careful of this.
Mm-hmm.
People gushing over the little guy, and the other little boy saying, well, doesn't anybody love me?
It's true, brother.
So I see that, and I go to him and say, oh, man, you're a great kid. Right? We got to be careful, because I can put a complex on somebody, and then when they get in hiding, he's got a little silence going, bam, bam, bam. Jealousy. Jealousy's wicked. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, forgive me. Praise the Lord. So, Joseph, he was subject to that jealousy because Papa didn't care about them other kids. It's like, you're the kid of a servant. Go over there and work or something. Joseph, here's my coat and everything. So, that jealousy is real. Do you realize there's jealousy amongst Christians? God does something supernatural or some blessing on somebody, and other people are like, I hate that person. Now, they don't say it.
That's true.
But there's that feeling there.
Amen.
You think you're something special, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I remember I used to go to church somewhere where they didn't say amen. And I would go, amen. And I would get this backlash. You think you're something. I'm like, where'd that come from? Like a thought.
Amen.
You know? So it wasn't no Methodist church. The Methodist church. Dead silent. And the brother's just preaching his heart out. And I know Brother Bram said saying amen is like sick him to the dog. And he just nails it. And I go, amen. Backlash. Whew. You think you're something, don't you? Where'd that come from? Man, the devil. Where's the devil at? You see, the devil never misses church. But the more he did that, the more I said amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I will not be intimidated by the devil because I know I'm nothing.
Amen.
I know I'm nothing.
Amen.
I'm not saying amen to be something. I'm saying amen because he hit the nail on the head.
Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Praise God. So then later on, years went by, and a brother came to church from out of town, and we're having fellowship. And he says, "Do you ever notice that? You say amen here and get the thought coming out." And I'm like, "Yeah, I've had that happen to me." He goes, "You know where that's coming from?" I said, "Well, it's the devil." He said, "It's coming off the people sitting there." I thought, "No. Yes. You bring a spirit to church with you." And that spirit, see, gets in your head and you have an influence. God help us to have the right spirit.
Amen.
Come with a positive, come with thanksgiving in your heart. Come with praise to God. Amen. Be happy if someone's getting a blessing. Say, "Well, I can't understand a word he's saying, but this person's getting blessed. Praise God anyhow."
Amen.
Maybe this one's not for me today.
Right.
Let people be blessed. Let God bless people. Let him give them supernatural signs and wonders. Let them give them gifts of prophecy and be happy with that. And your heavenly Father will be happy with you.
Amen. Oh, my Lord.
Don't be selfish and like an immature little child. "No, but he didn't give me nothing." God's looking for a little more maturity than that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Gifts and callings without repentance.
Amen.
All right. So it's true today, people can be jealous, and that's a horrible thing. So we can see in the life of Joseph, God was always with Joseph.
Amen.
He, even though he had much sorrow, and now the title of the sermon was Benoni, Benjamin, the son of my sorrow. Mm-hmm. When did she have Benjamin? She was like dying. And she produced Benjamin. Now we'll get to it. Hold that thought. Oh, Lord, help me. I'm way behind. Does anybody have to go?
No. Please, brother. Amen.
I wasn't going to dismiss him, Jamie. Praise the Lord. So, in Joseph was a type of Jesus. Do we know that?
Amen.
So Joseph hated of his brothers, but loved of his father.
Amen.
He was in his prison. Joseph was in his prison house. Well, Christ was on the prison house on the cross. Right? And in the prison, one was saved and one was died. Right? One was lost. Jesus had the thief that was saved and the thief that was lost. Right? And then Joseph had the butler and the baker.
Amen.
Perfect type of Christ. His life is this beautiful type of Christ. He he was thought to be dead. Joseph was like thrown in the grave by his brothers. Thought to be dead. Jesus was thought to be dead. Joseph went to the right hand of Pharaoh, and Jesus went to the right hand of Almighty God.
Amen.
Praise God. So many types and shadows. No one could see Pharaoh without going through Joseph. When Joseph rose up, every knee shall bow. Joseph is coming.
Amen.
How about our Jesus? Every knee shall bow.
Amen.
Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
So, praise God. We see all these types. Joseph, a type of Christ. Now, we're living in the last days. And how many knows Israel is God's timepiece?
Amen.
If you want to know what time it is, look at your watch. If you don't have a watch, look at your cell phone, right?
Amen.
And I'll say this. That sign on the back kind of highlights that cell phone sign. Did you notice that?
Amen.
No cell phones in church, you know. So it wasn't intended, but it was kind of a bonus. It was a bonus. You know, it is kind of a shame people still cell phones go off in church, you know.
Amen.
That should be the first thing, silence. You know, why don't you silence your phone forever?
Amen.
You'll get to the call later. You'll see something, right?
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I get tired of hearing people's cell phone rings.
Amen.
It's everywhere. You got to be courteous of other people.
Amen.
I know this is not cell phone class, but... You know, next thing you know, we'll be talking about left lane huggers, because that's another thing. Needs a lot of education about that, right? Please don't stay in the left lane. I say this as your pastor now, as a citizen of the United States. People that stay in the left lane, they cause backups. And you know, a lot of times, I'm driving all the time, and New Jersey is the worst place for left lane huggers. And when I pass them, there's some people there, and they go, "Lord, forgive me for this, but I have to get it off my chest." Some people are in that lane, and they're like, I don't have a clue that I'm backing up traffic, you know? And some people in left lane, like, I like the left lane and I ain't moving. I'm not getting out of the left lane. I was in Germany and all the trucks go to the right lane. And they stay in the right lane. And they're backed up in the right lane. In the middle lane, people are going slower. In the left lane, it's like zoom, zoom, zoom. We got to be like that. I mean, the German's not perfect, but they got that right. Move to the right. Left lane is for passing. All right, I'm done. I got it off my chest. Praise the Lord. I just really don't want to ever come up on one of you in the left lane, you know, because I'll be saying, what's wrong with those people? Israel is God's timepiece, right? Pope is no place for joking, man. I'm in trouble today. Lord, forgive me. Right? But we want to be considerate of other people. So Israel's God's timepiece. So look at your watch to know the time of day. If you want to know what God's time, what do? Watch Israel.
Amen.
Now it's quiet right now.
Yes, sir.
But it's not going to stay quiet.
Yes,
the whole world is going to focus on Israel again.
Amen.
You know, and Trump has a daughter who's married to a Jewish guy, right?
Yes, yes.
So Trump is like a friend to Israel now.
Amen.
Right? I mean, we can say what we want about Trump, but the world hates him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But some of the things he's doing, I don't like the way he handles people, for sure. I don't like his attitudes. But if you take that away, some of the things he's trying to do are right.
Yes, sir. That's right.
It's just the way he's doing is totally wrong. Right? So, I mean, I'm not in politics, and you can vote Republican or Democrat. I vote for Jesus, and that's my vote. All right? But what I'm saying is God sets up leaders. He sets up kings, and he takes them down. And I believe there's no way this man could become president if God didn't have something as part of his plan. So this is unusual. This is unusual. We haven't seen this before, right? And so look at Israel. Watch Israel. Watch the Pope. Watch the money of the world. Watch Israel. Watch Russia. God's prophet, everything he said is going to be vindicated. And Israel is a key to watch. There's going to be nations, all nations will gather against Israel to battle. You watch Israel. Something's going to happen there. Now, God's timepiece. There's going to be a great climax, and God's going to finish the story. Now, if we go into the story of Joseph, and here's what I'm trying to get to, the whole sermon, is Joseph a type of Christ. Now, what did Joseph also have? He had a Gentile bride, right? He had a Gentile bride. And so I'm not going to go through all this, but let me just get to the end here. He had a Gentile bride, and before Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, he put the Gentile bride away. See? So when Jesus reveals himself to the Jews again, first, the rapture takes place.
Amen.
And the Gentile bride's taken out of the way.
Amen.
And then I would encourage you, homework assignment, read the story of Joseph. It's in Genesis when he reveals himself to his brethren. And that whole story, there is so much emotion in that. When I read that, I start to cry. I start to think about Jacob thinking Joseph was dead, and then Joseph, all the emotion he had when he sees his brothers, and then he tests them, right? God's in, he tests people, right? And so he tests them, and then it come time finally to reveal. And then remember when they brought Benjamin back? And Joseph saw Benjamin, and he put more on Benjamin's plate. That was a full brother to him.
Amen.
Right? And Benjamin is the type of what? The remnant in Israel in the last days. Brother Bram said, that's the remnant, Benjamin.
Amen.
That 144,000.
Amen.
See, there's millions of people in Israel.
Amen.
But Benjamin is that one that kept the word of God.
Amen.
In Israel, see? So Jesus is coming back to them. The two prophets are going to come to a certain sect of Jews, and that's Benjamin. Now, how was Benjamin born? Go back to Rachel. It was in agony that she brought forth Benjamin.
Amen.
Many times in our life, God brings forth what he wants from us when we're in agony.
Amen.
Look at David. He was being persecuted by Saul, and in his agony, he wrote the Psalms.
Amen.
The word of God came out of him.
Amen. That's good,
we don't like agony, and we don't like sorrow, but if you stay focused on God and true to God, he's going to produce something in your life.
Amen.
Many times it's through sorrow. Benoni, he's the son of sorrow. And so Benjamin is going to come at a real troublesome time in Israel. Watch Israel. It's going to happen. But before that can happen, God has to take the bride out of the way.
Amen.
Do you realize what time it is, brother and sister?
Yes,
we are at the end.
Yes,
it's not going to keep going on and on and on.
Amen.
Jesus is coming back for a bride.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Watch Israel. God's time. Let's all stand.
Amen.
The son of sorrow. Many sorrows. You know, I realize people carry pain. You know, and as a human being, and I know you feel this way, someone gets their finger trapped in a door. Car door slams. It's screaming, bloody murder. You open the door and you're trying to fix the pain, right? Someone gets a pinch, someone gets hurt. We hate that. One thing I've observed in the ministry, sometimes God allows pain. And as a human being, I want to remove it. I want to fix the problem.
Yes.
And I can't. People carry pain. Listen, maybe you're one of those people that you carry pain. You're in a situation, you got something in your life that's painful. All I can say is hold on to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The world has pain too. The world has sorrow too. But they get bitter with it because they don't commit themselves to Jesus. But if you're carrying sorrow and you're carrying pain, forgive everybody and hold on to Jesus, and He'll produce something through that pain. Let's bow our heads.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, I truly ask you, forgive me, Lord. We're being lighthearted today. But we're serious about you and the things of God. And I ask that you bless your people and that you speak to their hearts and take this chopped up message today. And Lord, help them to realize that you love them, that you died for them, and that they're free. Even though they're yoked to you, Lord, they're free when they're yoked to you, Lord. Bless each one, Lord. I know there's painful situations, Lord. In all of our lives, we commit them to you, Lord. We give them to you. We ask you to overcome in those situations. And we'll give you all the glory and honor. We'll be careful to give it all to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If Jeremy would come, just worship the Lord today. Praise the Lord.
Amen.